Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
CBSSports.com, national college football writer for them. Dennis, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I am good. How are you guys?
We're doing very
great,
well.
Great, man.
So we were just talking about this Gary Anderson story and leaving Oregon State and $12.6 million. Why would anybody in their right mind leave that much money on the table and look to part ways with their employer?
He's a complicated guy. I went out and talked to him when he left Wisconsin after a 10-win season, mind you, because he couldn't get JUCOs in to Wisconsin. And I go, is it really that big a deal? He thought it was. He thought some of the academic constrictions there were worth quitting over. And I can't explain why he's quit after six games of his, what, third year, and left $12 million on the table. He apparently had told people if it didn't work out, he was going to do this. So sometimes there are no easy answers. I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah, it's perplexing to all of us, and we're thinking, of course, the worst when you leave that type of cash on the table. But in his lengthy history as a coach, Utah State, and then, of course, going to Wisconsin, you know, I've never heard anything in a negative manner about him, other than the fact that he and Barry Alvarez couldn't coexist there in Madison. So do you think there could be more to this story?
That's the first thing I thought of, and I made some calls, and everything I came up with was, no, you just have to take him at his word. There are no personal or health issues. This is just what he felt. There was a similar case a few days ago. You probably know Sean Kugler at UTEP did the same thing. Now, Sean Kugler makes $500,000 a year, and his contract is such that he just walks away from that salary. But he had, what I'm hearing, he had to be coaxed onto the field at times. But he was so distraught at the job he'd done, he just wanted to walk away. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone told me before the season there'd be two coaches that wouldn't make it halfway through the season, but not quit. Mm-hmm. They'd be fired.
Geo Jones with Dennis Dodd across the country on CBS Sports Radio. What about that Oklahoma loss? Is that one that you even thought there was a chance of happening going into that football game?
Yeah, not much. A head scratcher, and then you know to be beaten by a third string walk on who was supplemented by the middle linebacker Joe Lannon, who was the starter last year, but had one of the great lines of college football history. What was it, 8 tackles, 2 of 3 for 36 yards, he ran for 52 or something like that. It's just a head-scratcher. I think I saw this the 7th straight year Oklahoma has lost to a double-digit underdog. But this was inexplicable and big picture bad for Oklahoma, but worse for the Big 12. This is almost a death blow. They've got to hope that TCU wins out to assure themselves a shot in the playoff. Anything less than that, I think everything's up in the air for that conference right now.
I think Oklahoma would have had to win out as well. So you're right. Whoever the conference champion is, they have to have an unblemished record for them to get in. TCU, unlike the first year of the college football playoff, they will not be, undermined like they and Baylor were in that inaugural year of the college football playoff. Iowa State, just staying with this for a moment, a big win for Matt Campbell in that program, signature win for that program. But what is going on with the starting quarterback, or the former starting quarterback, Jacob Park? Of course, he came from Georgia, transfer, and then we saw the run-ins during the Texas-Iowa State game between he and Matt Campbell. He seems to be a head case. Does he step back on the field for this football team, or do they move on from him?
Well, it was that. I don't know if those two incidents are connected. He said, or they said he was out because of personal health issues. So I can only take that at face value and wish him the best. I don't know if we can tie that to him having issues with the head coach on the sideline. I don't know anything more than that. They've kept a pretty tight lid on it there. I did make some calls on that. No, I don't know. I don't know anything beyond
that. Okay.
Yeah.
How bad was this loss for the Harbaugh tenure at Michigan?
It was bad because it highlighted what has to happen there. You can jump into all the pools fully clothed and do cannonballs all you want. You can get as many babies baptized in Rome as you want. But sooner or later, you got to beat Ohio State and Michigan State.
Yep.
And this was at home against, look, I'm not going to tell anybody that Michigan State's going to a major bowl or win that division. I thought they were less bad than Michigan. Even with the rain on Saturday night, I was there. But it points up the fact now that halfway through his third season, Jim Harbaugh has, to his credit, two third-place finishes in the Big Ten East and is 1-4 against the two big rivals. Brady Hoke, the disparaged Brady Hoke, was 2-3 at the same point. So, you know, sooner or later, these are going to become issues with the fans. They absolutely adore him, but for $9 million, you know, they're going to want more eventually. And that was pretty much inexplicable. That was not a great Michigan State team. Michigan has issues on the offensive line. They don't have any difference-making backs. John O'Korn, you know, we know he's a backup. And he's brought in because Wilton Spade was hurt. But John O'Korn was brought in the first year to win the job. And he's only playing because he has to now, and you saw what happened. He played pretty well against Purdue, but not against a pretty stout Michigan State defense. So all of those things. I thought before this game that Michigan could kind of slog it around with their defense and maybe contend and win that division and win the Big Ten, frankly, if everything fell right. But not now. The Penn State, they play Penn State in 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, 2 weeks. That's going to be tough. They still have to play Ohio State. You know, this may be a 9-3 team that just doesn't look that good at the end of the year.
Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com, joining us here on G.O. and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. Listen, Butch Jones, I guess his seat is the hottest of any coach right now. Has to be.
No question. Yeah. After that skunk job against Georgia, there's no question. I don't think they'll do anything during the season. I don't know what purpose that serves. Although, you know, we're about exactly 2 months away from signing day, you know, the early signing day. So Tennessee might be tempted to do something to get some momentum going there, but it just seems inevitable now. I was told before the season that the bottom would have to fall out for him to be fired. Now, at that point, that meant like 4-8, but I think there's a different definition to the bottom falling out now. You've got the loss to Georgia. You've got the rant, you know, where he, you know, what is fake news and media and all this stuff. You know, Tennessee is one of those programs, I think, that overvalues itself at times. There's not very many players in the state. They're always going to have to go elsewhere for players. They haven't won much of anything since 98. I would call them, I don't know, at best a top 15 team in the best of times. And they spike up there like in 98. But, you know, their history is not one like Alabama or maybe even Auburn or LSU of late. So Tennessee has to decide what it wants to be. Is it going to contend for national championships? Is it going to win the East? I think that's a logical expectation, but they haven't been close lately.
I'm hearing from former players there at Tennessee, and they are all saying the same name, T. Martin, who's the current OC at USC.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I think that'd be now, again, he's never been a head coach, and there's things that come along with that that sometimes you don't know till you come in there. Does Tennessee want a head coach? You hear Chip Kelly, too. I think because of everything we're talking about, I don't think Chip Kelly wants to get into that mess. I think he might be a perfect fit at a place like Arizona State. if he wants to get back in. But, yeah, T. Martin has distinguished himself as an offensive coordinator, obviously, at USC. He was championship quarterback on that 98 team. And is a great recruiter and well-respected. What you don't know is, do you want, you know, do you as a, I guess, a, an administrator at Tennessee as a fan, do you want that to be his first head coaching job? In other words, Jim McElwain served a little internship at Colorado State. Scott Frost is at UCF maybe before he jumps to Nebraska. That's a big, big leap, even for an accomplished native son and championship quarterback at Tennessee.
Did you take offense to be called to being called rat poison by Nick Saban? Because we
I just laughed. I saw their sports information director in the background laughing himself when Nick said that, and so I sent him. I found some rat poison on the internet and just copied it and sent him in a text message. I said, "Hey, here we can I give some traps to Nick next time I see him?" No, Nick is a better quote after they win. Because he knows what's coming. You guys are great, and this everything's going great, which is true. And that happens in every sport, usually with teams. But he's already upset when that happens because he knows he doesn't want it to go right to their heads. And he flat out disparaged this team, guys, in the off season after coming within a second of winning a second national championship in a row, 26 wins in a row, and fought Clemson tooth and nail. You know, he said guys didn't pay attention after there was something missing after the SEC title game before the playoff. And I said, well, is he talking about Lane? And he goes, well, Lane was part of it, but guys weren't working hard enough. And I go, that's quite an indictment from maybe the greatest coach of all time in college football. Some people want to call him that. He's better as a quote and more insightful when he wins.
Did Joshua get back to you after you texted?
He did. He just said LOL. He said yeah. He said absolutely. I gave him his choice of three rat poisons he could order online. So yeah.
Well, put in a good word for us because he's still upset with us. We held Coach Saban a little bit too long, 22 minutes as opposed to the 8 that's usually outlined for interviews. Yeah.
Hey, if Nick wants to talk, that's great.
Right.
That's
exactly, great job, and he wanted to talk.
Gio,
that's great.
Gio and Jones with Dennis Dodd on CBS Sports Radio. How good is Georgia in your mind? I mean, because they're obviously really good and not, I don't want to say consensus, but they're right there at number three. But are they Alabama good?
Historically, given recent history, no. An East champion hasn't won the conference since Florida in 2008, and that ultimately will be the test. Now, for Georgia, you know, if they win the East, that's a great season. You know, they're back in year two of Kirby Smart. I think that's an amazing accomplishment. With their starter injured, a quarterback, and a true freshman leading them, I keep saying all true freshman quarterbacks, no matter how good they do, they've always got that game in them. Somewhere along the line, where they go 9 of 21 for 84 yards and two turnovers. You know what I mean? But that hasn't happened yet. He's turned out, you're talking about Jake Fromm, that turned out to be a really good game manager. We know about the running game. The defense is really good, and they're going to, you know, pound the turf with Missouri this week and move on. Their best start since 2005 and their highest ranking in the top five in 5 years. There's not much you can say bad about Georgia except that if you're talking about the next step, we'll find out on December 2nd in Atlanta. If they take it, we shall see.
When you look at Washington State, I know they just went on the road and they beat Oregon. Oregon's playing their third-string quarterback, a true freshman. Do you think they're legit, knocking off SC and then Oregon? Is this a team that's better than their mates there in the state, Washington?
They're absolutely legit, and I'll tell you why. The offense is a given. Mike Leach teams are always going to have a quarterback and score. This is by far the best defensive team he's fielded in 16 years as a head coach. Watch Alex Grinch. He's the defensive coordinator. Mike Leach saw him. I texted him. I said, where did you find this guy? I went to Missouri. I lived 2 hours from Missouri. I'd never heard of him. He was coaching safeties at Missouri. Mm-hmm. Mike Leach said, I liked him on film. I saw his stuff on film. And now Alex Grinch has one of the top defenses in the country. They're undersized a lot in the line and on the field. That's not the worst thing. Gary Patterson made a career out of that, playing that stack 3-3-5. Washington State has one of the best defensive linemen. If we had the All-America team right now, this guy named Hercules Matapa, and I think I butchered his last name.
It's Mata'afa, man. Mata'afa.
Yeah, okay. Easy for you to say. plays at about 245, 250 on the edge and in the interior, but has absolutely got a motor. And that's why they have to be in the conversation for the Pac-12, because the Apple Cup's probably going to decide the North winner. And then beyond there, if they keep winning, no, they're absolutely legit.
So that's why Missouri's defense stinks. They lost this guy.
That's another 20-minute segment on the show about Missouri. He's coaching safeties. He wasn't a coordinator.
Dennis, it's great talking to you. We appreciate the time this morning.
All right, thanks so much, guys.
Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com talking some college football. Woo! Missouri.
No, they're not making those noises. No. They're saying, ouch.
Yeah.
But they actually played better last week. A close one, close loss versus Kentucky. A little clock issue there at the end of the ball game, but they didn't get blown out like they have been previously in all their games.
We've got Rick Ankiel joining us before the show is over. An Andrew Bogish update. A halftime show I'm still confused by. At Monday Night Football, I saw in person, so plenty more to come. But first, here's Brian.
You already know that I struggled with pain, which is why I'm so impressed with Relief Factor. When I first started taking Relief Factor, had a little elbow issue. Didn't know where this elbow issue came from, but I know this. It is gone thanks to Relief Factor. Well, Pete and Seth Talbot, the Farthest Son owners of Relief Factor, have just told me that for the entire month of October, they're going to send $5 to Africa New Life every time they sell a three-week quick start for just $19.95. That's right. $5 of that $19.95 is going to help rescue and care for a child in Rwanda. For years now, Pete and Seth have been helping kids in Africa, but now are going to be doing even more with your help. Yes, I know many of you have been procrastinating. You're in pain, but you've been skeptical. That's okay. I was skeptical, too. But now you can hopefully lower, even eliminate your pain and help rescue a child at the same time. Please help yourself actually lower and eliminate your pain by joining Pete and Seth to rescue and care for more kids. Order the three-week quick start for $19.95 at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
I was just notified that Andrew Bogish is going to be a big star at Career Day.
Yes.
This is a cool thing. So this is your high school that you went to?
Yes, here in Manhattan.
And you were invited to be one of the special people that the young students will talk to about the radio business?
There's three of us who work in sports media who will be kind of doing presentations throughout the morning as kids walk around. And
who are the other two?
Pat O'Keefe, who is a year older than me, who works here locally in News 12 in the Bronx and
you're
in Brooklyn.
You're a bigger deal than him.
And then Joe Masseri, who is on WPIX, Channel 11, sports anchor.
Yeah, you're a bigger deal than both those guys.
No, he is. Local TV.
Joe Masseri, huh?
I believe he's a stranger to me. I believe that's how you say his last name.
What's the name of the high school?
Regis High School.
Regis.
Right.
Which
I like this.
John Shambi.
Pablo, Boog.
Yeah, Pablo Torre from SI, from ESPN now.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah. So what is your tact with these kids? What do you, when they come up to you and they tug on your shirt and they go, Mr. Bogish, I want to get into radio. You tell
them. Don't do it. You're in a good school where there are smart people who are lawyers and district attorneys and doctors, AIDS researchers. Walk to those rooms and talk to them.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
No, but you can't be that discouraging.
No, and I hated when people were growing up, like through high school and college.
Yeah.
In college in particular, people complain about how bad the business is. But as much as we complain, I'm still wearing a T-shirt and jeans, talking about sports.
Yeah.
Getting paid a living wage. And having a, you know, I know Brian Jones now.
Yeah, which is a really, really cool thing.
Andrew Bogish.
Ooh.
Who's she?
I tell you. I do have to admit that Bogish complains the least out of anybody around here that I know. He definitely does. You do have a better outlook on things than just about anybody.
Well, it always could be worse.
Yeah, no,
of course. It could be much, much worse.
Naturally. But it's tough to have that perspective, and you actually apply that.
I also do it in bunches.
Meaning?
And then there's consistent complainers here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When something's wrong...
Then you'll complain.
Then I'll complain.
Right.
And it might take a day or two for it to get out of my system, but I think I have more good days than bad days. I think.
No,
I
you
hope.
Do.
I would hope you do. Maybe. Don't all of us? Complaining gets you nowhere. If you don't like your lot, do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just yell in the hallway until someone answers.
Damn it.
It's Andrew Burgess.
I don't yell in the hallway until someone answers. I yell at them. I don't expect an answer. I don't want an answer.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
No answer needed.
Oh, man. You know, you were the quietest one this morning. Everybody was so loud today.
See?
I was trying to talk to Pete about something. We had to stop our conversation, and it wasn't even construction noise. It was just people yelling about stuff.
Marco Belletti.
Marco Belletti, the update anchor. When he gets he gets going.
Hey, don't say anything negative.
All I'm pointing out is he was extremely loud
all
today.
Right, well, leave it at that.
Jeez, Marco.
Can do no wrong.
Pipe down. Can do no wrong.
No wrong. Zilch.
Why are you so in love with Marco Belletti?
It's my dog. Don't worry about it. It's between us.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just sort of curious as to why such affection for Marco Belletti.
That's my dog! Boom.
You give him weird bro hugs every time you see him?
Yeah, you treat him like a white woman.
What's up, baby?
This is so true. He's the only dude that you do that with. You're so right. You're like, when you hug him.
If you had a little bit more diversity around here, I'd treat him like all women. How about that? What's up, baby?
That's what you do say. What's up, baby?
Talk to our boss about that.
And then he gives the grunt every time when he slaps his hand.
Baby.
Where you going? How are you going home after your shift?
What are you doing, man? What is that?
I'm doing the Brian impersonation, what you do with Marco.
I don't think
we
all that.
Headed back home, dog? Huh? So soon, huh?
I don't think all that gyrating is going
on. Keep getting close. Everybody's seen it.
Hey, it's on the table.
Ain't that wrong, little man, love?
Yeah, Marco. Marco goes home like, I don't know how to feel about this. I'm a little confused.
You know how to feel. Take that.
Oh, God. I told you can't do stuff like that with my imagination.
Oh.
I can't control it. It's not my fault. I can't now.
Oh, it's not your fault.
It's not. It's just now.
That's what I say. No. I can't mess with the big ragu, man. The big ragu. Woo! He fights back.
Grand Garden.
Mm-mm.
All right. Is this my fault?
Yes, pretty much.
Have fun at career day, Bo.
Yeah, thanks. Bring this air check for the kids.
Tell them to be yourself.
An amazing regular season, Dodger rookie Cody Bellinger quiet through the first two games of the NLDS with Arizona, and then came game three.
And Bellinger with a fly ball well hit to left field. It's on its way, and it's gone. A home run. Cody Bellinger goes the other way. Hadn't hit a home run in 10 games, but this one has just given the Dodgers a 2-0 lead.
Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio. Bellinger also an RBI ground out and a catch falling over the dugout railing as LA got a three-game sweep, 3-1 in Arizona. That run, two hits, seven Ks over five allowed by Yu Darvish. LA's in the NLCS for the second straight October, third time in five seasons. It'll be the Cubs or Nationals next. Their game four at Wrigley, 5:30 Eastern today. Chicago leads 2-1 after a 2-1 win yesterday. The Astros are in the ALCS, but not yet the Indians.
The 3-2. Swung on and line deep down the left field line. That ball is one hop off the left field wall. Hicks scores. Gardner scores. Judge the second with a double. The Yankees have erupted for four runs in the second inning.
You hear his voice, how it's changed? If you listen very closely, apparently he messed himself up, John Sterling. This is not a joke or anything. He hit his mouth. Apparently the story was that he fell and hit his mouth. And if you listen very closely, you can hear, he has a little bit of like lisp going on because he hit his mouth.
Listen, the 3-2. Swung on and line deep down the left field line. That ball is one hop.
There's a little less
one
crispness.
Hop. Yeah, one hop. Yeah,
what?
You heard him.
He sounds the same.
No, he doesn't. Listen, play the whole highlight.
The 3-2. Swung on and line deep down the left field line. That ball is one hop off the left field wall. Hicks scores. Gardner scores. Judge the second with a double. The Yankees have erupted for four runs in the second inning.
I stand corrected. Yeah. It's not the second for the double. The suffering sucker fans. Here comes the Yankees. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but it's clear that something went on there. Something happened to him.
He sounds the same.
The wrong. Gardner and Hex. Hicks makes the catch.
Hex. Hicks of Fosses.
That Aaron Judge two-run double part of a four-run second. Six total runs last night unearned as Cleveland committed four errors after an AL low 76 during the regular season. The 7-3 final, the first time since late August, Cleveland has dropped back-to-back games. So we go back to Ohio for game five tomorrow night with Corey Kluber and CC Sabathia on the mound. Rookie QB Mitchell Trubisky played well in his first career start, but the Bears still lost to the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Head coach John Fox.
Again, I think our effort was good as it's been, in all our games to start the season. I think really the difference in the game was minus two in a turnover ratio.
One hit him in the mouth.
Hey, Coach Life. Fox, what happened?
Oh, my goodness. He's going to pull a Gary Anderson. He just walk away.
Wow.
Jeez, John, is everything okay?
Give up the tobacco, man.
Oh, man.
Trubisky, sorry, go.
No, I was just going to say that was like alarming how bad he's. Well, I guess he's yelling during a game, but geez. Anyway.
Trubisky threw a pick with 2:20 to go, which set up Kai Forbath's game-winning 26-yard kick with 12 seconds left. 2017, the final in Chicago. Vikings QB Sam Bradford aggravated the left knee injury that cost him the previous three games. Case Keenum threw for a score in relief. Giants wideout Odell Beckham Jr. reportedly had surgery last night for his broken left ankle. Teammate Brandon Marshall revealing on Instagram he's headed for season-ending ankle surgery today. Greg's Maple Leafs rallying from a 3-1 hole to beat the Blackhawks 4-3 in overtime. The game winner from Austin Matthews and U.S. soccer star Christian Pulisic still unsure if he plays tonight's World Cup qualifier in Trinidad and Tobago because of a sore left calf. The Americans clinched their spot in Russia next summer with a win. Boys?
Can you hang around for a couple minutes? I know you got double duty. Because I want you to be on the other side of the Star Wars thing, because I know you're a fan. So last night, at halftime, these stormtroopers come out onto the field. And there was also a band that came out doing the Star Wars theme, that Darth Vader theme. Mm-hmm. And then they played the trailer for the new Star Wars movie. And people usually scatter during halftime, go to the bathroom, get something, right. You know the deal. The amount of people that stayed and were fixated on these Star Troopers walking out in these costumes, I was shocked. One guy filmed on his phone every second of this halftime show. And basically all it was the Star Troopers walking out, and then they played the trailer that you see on TV on the video board. And he taped that. All like 5 minutes of this, and then people are trying to get back to their seat, and he's like moving his camera up over the people and to the side, like he had to get the whole thing on there. So I guess my question is this once again a humongous deal in the Star Wars community that this movie is coming out? Is this going to be another one of these blockbuster breaking all the record things? Because I thought it was over.
No, this is the beginning of the second one of the new sequence.
The second, how many of those are there going to be?
I think there's one more after this, but then there's also like side story movies that are coming out.
And you keep up with all of it?
I mean, I've seen them, but keep up is not a fair assessment. I have not seen the trailer last night because I was long asleep by halftime.
Right.
Didn't see it this morning. I couldn't tell
you. So that was the debut of the trailer?
Yes.
Maybe that's why I was filming it. I thought maybe it was on TV.
No. I mean, it was debuted at halftime on TV and obviously in the building as well. But the ABC owns, I think, Lucas, or Disney owns Lucasfilm.
Yeah, Disney, right. Disney paid for that whole thing last night, I heard.
Yeah, so there's all that.
It is real. Like, there's a lot of things I can't understand. Like, that's one of those things I can't get into it.
Star Wars.
One bit. One iota, I can't get into it. And the passion for it makes me feel like I'm missing out on something. You know, someone who's that fired up, they got to film the trailer on a video board?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine too many things that I would, where I'd film the trailer. I just don't know if there are movies I love and I'll watch repeatedly, but.
Right.
Film the trailer.
But like, when is this guy going to watch that? Like, just now that it debuted, you could probably find it anywhere. go watch it on an HD video or record the game. And like, you're really going to sit there and watch that, like, 5 minutes of this on your phone? But
the Chewbacca people, says yes.
People that wait around for that. Well, you would, like, would you wait on a line for a Star Wars ticket?
No. I didn't even see the last one in a theater.
December 15th. That's what everybody was saying. Some guy was scrambling to buy tickets on his phone right after that. He's like, December 15th, you want to go to the 15th, 16th, or 17th? Said to his wife. She was like, whatever.
I'm checking my 401k.
It was a different woman. But yeah, like, whatever you want.
Did he dress as Darth Vader as well?
No, this guy. No, he did not. He had a son whose face was painted, though, with bear stuff. I was like, man. It's like, I hope you guys have something real in your lives you can add on to, other than some of this. But anyway.
Star Wars is real? What are you talking about?
And you're a Game of Thrones fan, too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You're just one of those guys. You just like that stuff.
I'm surprised that I like Game of Thrones as much as I do.
I'm jealous. I think I'm jealous. I don't think I'm judging. I think I'm jealous because people seem to be so wrapped up in it.
We'll welcome you in. There's space.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
You're going to need a lot of it.
Watch one less nerdy Netflix documentary and fire up some Game of Thrones. Come on. This is easy fix.
Documentaries are damn good.
Yeah, no, I love
those. He's educating
us. Yeah, last one was amazing. You recommend it.
Yeah, see? That's right.
Did you watch
Easy,
it?
Mike.
Oh, twice.
This is the one about the Dodgers game?
Yeah, long shot. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Netflix. You got to check that out. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's my cup of tea. All right, Rick Ankiel joins us next. Talks some baseball.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Former big leaguer, now with Fox Sports Midwest and author of The Phenomenon. Rick, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Top of the morning to you.
I can't imagine what it's like to be a player on the Nationals and see one guy go through five innings of no-hit ball and you lose that game. Your ace yesterday go through six innings of no-hit ball and you lose that game. How do you show up and continue to have positive vibes in a series where that type of stuff is going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. You're looking at two of the game's best starters that there are, and you've never won a postseason game behind either one of them. And then they come in and give those kind of performances, and your offense isn't able to do what they've always been able to do all year, which is score runs. The Nationals are so dangerous offensively. To me, if Max Scherzer doesn't get hurt before the playoffs, I feel like you're looking at the number one team in the National League, hands down. And the question was going to be, you know, how healthy is Max? But obviously he showed up yesterday and did what he had to do, like you said, through no-hit ball for six innings. It's heartbreaking, you know, and I know a ton of those guys. I played with the Nationals in 11 and 12. I worked for them as a coach in 15. I think where, you see where the organization has come from and where it's going, where they're headed, it's absolutely heartbreaking. But they're going to have to find a way to show up today and grind out every at-bat as much as they can against Arrieta.
Rick, any justification for Dusty Baker taking Scherzer out of this game? And additionally, when you were right and your manager came out there and you may have been in a precarious situation as far as number on base, pitch count and all that, but doesn't a manager have to have a feel for the player, especially in situations like this? You're in the postseason. It's different than the regular season. You're not saving anything, but you have to have a feel for that player and know what you can believe that's coming out of his mouth as far as whether he can get this next hitter out.
Yeah, you definitely do. I mean, listen, my start of my career is a starting pitcher, so I'll always have that in my heart. I was at the game, watching the game, and I thought there's no way he was coming out. I mean, he gave up one hit, and you took him out of the game. But, hey, you know, that's the manager's call. It's obviously easy to sit here and second guess. If it's me, I'm not taking him out there. It's his game to lose or at least give it up to a tie. And if it's me, I'm not taking him out there. No chance.
It's amazing that we continue to talk about Friday night between the Yankees and the Indians, but it was just one of those games. I mean, Joe Girardi was tearing up in the post game last night, even after tying this series. Do you believe that Joe Girardi's job should be on the line based on whether or not they win this series or not because of the egregious mistakes that he made in that game on Friday night?
No, I think anybody that thinks that is just absolute knucklehead. I mean, you got to understand how much Girardi cares. I got a chance to spend a spring training with Joe Girardi. He came into Cardinals camp when I was a young player, and I got to see what a pro he was, how he went about his business professionally in the gym, did all the little things right. And that's the same way he goes about as being a manager. I think you got to give a lot of credit to the Yankees, for one, for coming back. And Severino, after having the outing that he had his first one, but to come back after not making it out of the first inning, to go seven strong last night, that was absolutely incredible. I couldn't have been more impressed with the young pitcher.
Now, can you take us back to your first playoff stint and the nerves and anxiety you were feeling?
Yeah, you know, the first one, I had a little bit of nerves, but, you know, there was no anxiety. I was young and confident. I had a great month coming down that stretch, and I thought I was going to go out there and throw a no-hitter. Now, obviously, the game didn't go as planned or what anyone would have thought, but that's just the way it goes. And if you look at Severino's first start, nobody thought there's no way this kid's not going to make it out of the first inning. I mean, you take a look at his stuff, 100-mile-an-hour fastball, curveball, change. I mean, this kid can pitch. He's one of the young, great pitchers. I mean, I was shocked to not see him make it out of the first, but like I said, to see him go seven strong last night, the Yankees needed that, but to see him do that after that first outing, just what a turnaround and what a pitcher he is.
And I remember we talked as we were talking to Rick Ankiel on CBS Sports Radio, but we talked about this when we had you on when you were talking about your book and promoting your book. I mean, that whole deal back in 2000 was about as shocking a thing to watch. And, I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like to be you. I mean, once that first one went awry, did you think that it was only going to be a one-time deal? Like, that was okay. All right, that happened. Now I'm going to be back on track. Or did you think that, oh, no, this is something bad and it's not going to stop?
No, I didn't know. I mean, I was young and naive to even have a clue what was going on. I thought, oh, well, I threw a wild pitch. Who cares? You know, let's get back into the game and go. And I had a 6-0 lead at that time, so really all I needed to go in there was throw strikes and let the defense work behind me. You know, and it just didn't happen. And as things started to unravel, I tried everything, you know, I could possibly try. As a pitcher, you have all these keys to get you back on track, whether it's keep your weight back, stay in your legs, lead with your elbow, you know, all these things that pitchers do. And nothing was working. And still, even after the game, I, as young as I was, I didn't have any clue that was going to affect the rest of my career and the rest of my life.
Trevor Bauer went on short rest after really keeping the Yankees lineup in check in the first ball game, a shutout. Going on short rest, something that you just have to deal with once you get into a playoff scenario, or something you would say, Skip, don't do it to me. I know I'm not going to be successful if I don't go without my regular rest.
No, I mean, you've got to go out there and give it everything you got. You know, you're coming into the playoffs, and this is where you let it all hang out. And we've seen plenty of pitchers pitch on short rest. You know, unfortunately for Trevor last night, he just wasn't nearly as sharp as he was the first game. I mean, that first game against the Yankees, he was absolutely brilliant. And I think you can just tell, you could see last night. I mean, just, you know, it wasn't the same at all. I didn't feel like the curveball had the same break on it. And he's got one of those curveballs where even if you're sitting on it, you know, guys really don't make good contact on. I mean, it's really a nasty pitch. And overall, his stuff just wasn't, you know, close to what it was that first night.
Are the Dodgers back?
It certainly seems like it. You know, I was shocked to see Robbie Ray pitch in that wild card game against Colorado, because I thought for Arizona to beat the Dodgers, Robbie Ray needed to pitch game one on regular rest. And like we're talking about, again, these are the kind of things that happen and you got to adjust, and something you're not used to. And same thing there. He just wasn't as sharp as we've seen him be. He's been able to beat the Dodgers, you know, nonstop all year, really dominated them. And without that, I felt like he wasn't as sharp, and the Dodgers came in and just rolled right through it. And it seems like they got their confidence back, feeling the flow. Cody Bellinger, I mean, God, this kid is impressive. Opposite field home runs. I feel like he can do it all. He can beat you in so many ways. Another young player that is so awesome to watch.
What do you foresee happening? Kluber, CeCe, Sabathia, they hook up again as they did in game two. CeCe, I thought, was excellent. Should not have been taken out of the game, but hey, skipper's call. How do you see this one playing out?
Oh, man. I mean, before this series started, I thought the Yankees might sweep them. I really did.
Really?
They seemed like they had their thing going. Yeah, to me, that's what it seemed like.
Look, you're a knucklehead, Rick.
Hey, it's not like I hate the Yankees. I actually love the Yankees. I love them for the fact that I feel like they're the underdogs. They weren't even supposed to be here this year. You know, when you look at it on paper when the year started, so I'm a fan, trust me when I say that. I'm just giving you my educated guess. But now you go back home to Cleveland and you got Kluber, who we know how good he can be. It's a tough one. I'm going to take Kluber on this one just based on his pedigree as a starting pitcher. But the Yankees' mojo is really going through the roof right now, and I think it's going to be a great game to watch.
Gio and Jones with Rick and Keel, Fox Sports Midwest, former big leaguer. For more on his story, The Phenomenon is the book that he wrote. The one series we haven't gotten to yet was the Astros and the Red Sox, and just so impressive what Houston can do. What are your impressions of them and an outlook for the rest of the postseason?
One incredible game last night, too. I mean, that was just amazing. Verlander and Sale coming in, and then you got Benintendi that hits the two-run homer, and it looks like the Sox are going to come back, and then somehow the Astros come back fighting. They got their mojo going, too, and they've been a dominant team all year. I felt like when the Verlander trade happened, that really boosted their confidence, and he's been absolutely superb for them. That's going to be, watching the AL Championship Series, I think, is probably going to be as good as the World Series, just because whatever team wins from the Yankees and Indians is going to, they're two really good teams, and you have the Astros coming in there as good as they've been. I think that, like I said, that series will be as good as the World Series, I think.
Rick, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you before this thing's over.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Rick and
Keel. Thanks, Rick. From the knuckleheads.
Check out. I didn't say Girardi should be fired. I
didn't either.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You sounded like it. Playing both sides, man.
I never said that.
You were close.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I never say that about anyone. You said call for people to be fired. Certain people.
That egregious.
I said it was egregious.
Egregious. You said fireable offense?
I said it was egregious.
Check out Rick's book.
Yeah. Phenomenon.
The Phenomena.
Yeah.
What time's first pitch on Wednesday?
7.
Is it? 7?
12.
No, it's 10. probably like 8.
7, 12, 10.
Last time I saw was 8.
8:05.
Like I said, 8.
8:08.
8:08. Ah, 8:08. Isn't that Oakland area code? 8:08?
Is it? I'm not sure.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oakland in the house. You going to make it, dog? You all right?
What, for the last couple minutes of the show?
Yeah, because I know you're tired.
No, I am. I'm tired. I'd make it. But, of course, Mikey B scheduled
it's Hawaii.
After
I said Hawaii. 808 is Hawaii. Yeah. I was west, right? Just further west.
Today of all days, Mikey B scheduled an interview after the show.
Well, you know.
So I'm thinking, all I got to do is get through to 3 hours. I'll be fine.
He's inconsiderate.
Power through. I only got,
man.
Well, like 2 hours of sleep in a massage chair today.
But you had all that fried chicken on the flight.
Oh, it was good. Yeah, no, everything was a great experience. But, of course, I'm
you
not as many as Boomer.
How many do you
eat? 3.
That's it?
Yeah, 3 and a biscuit.
Boomer's a big dude.
Yeah, 3 and a biscuit.
Man, I would have torn that up.
Well, of course you would have.
KFC.
But it was good. It was delicious. But no, more
was
work.
It hot?
Yeah, man.
I just want to make sure it was nice and hot. Could have been sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
That's how the team plane used to smell, too.
So this interview, when we play it tomorrow, it's going to sound like, tomorrow I'll be refreshed and good, and then we'll toss the interview. Like, well, Cliff. Gio and Jones.
I thought we were going to let Art do all the talking.
What about the defense?
We can re-record the questions.
Cliff.
We're going to let Art do the asking, man.
Art DeLugic.
Yeah, DeLugic.
Art DeLugic from the Lano News.
Lano Express News.
I can't figure out for the life of me. You can't find 10 or 15 young lads who can go out there and hold your opponent.
They went and got
Art DeLugic with the Lano News.
For 30 points a game.
They went and got him some JUCO players.
You
playing
go,
better for David Gibbs.
You go out and you recruit from other states, and there's probably 8 million kids who play football in the state of Texas, and you suck.
Whoa.
Why is that?
Wow.
That's basically
come on, Art.
Said.
Art, that's kind of harsh.
Well, that's the way I feel, and I don't care.
I thought you vegetarians were a little bit more...
No.
Art DeLugic. We had him on the show. He was amazing.
He was. He was great.
All right, thanks, too.
From California, right? Originally? I think he's from out west. Hawaii, maybe?
808. That's all I know.
Yeah, 808.
Thanks to Rick and Keel, Dennis Dodd, Mikey B, PDB, Bogus Pierno. Talk to you tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.